You have been listening to a program broadcast entirely in the Mohawk language on CKUT.
The Mohawk, or Ganyatgehaga, are the original people of the unceded traditional territory known as Montreal, or Chojaake. The Ganyatgehaga, or people of the Flint, have two communities close by, and they are working hard at revitalizing their language. This program is part of those efforts, and it originally aired in Ganasadage on RKR, reviving Ganasadage Radio.
You know, it's the boy Dash all the way from Grenada, and it's tuned into C-Cut 90.3 FM.
What's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Mama, I made it. Papa, I made it. Through the pebbles and the storm, I learned to carry on. And everything that you have done has helped me overcome. Mama, I made it. Papa, I made it.
Yo, mince meat, brother. I am on my grind. I got these weak dudes dipping like a limbo line. 5:14, now's about my time. Word to Dr. Frankenstein. He's screaming I'm alive. And so well, like a bucket and a rope in it. Obama swagger, put the change and the hope in it.
Started from the bottom, now my whole team fucking here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Nigga, started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Nigga, started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team fucking here. I done kept it real from the jump. Living at my mama's house, we'd argue every month, nigga. I was trying to get it on my own. Working all night, traffic on the way home. And my uncle calling me like, where you at? I gave you the keys, so you bring it right back, nigga. I just think it's funny how it goes. Now I'm on the road, half a million for a show. And we started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team fucking here. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here, nigga. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team fucking here.
Yes, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and today we bring to a close the final tribute to fathers, to black fathers for the month of June. If you haven't been listening since May began, we paid homage to black mothers in May, so we had amazing, amazing mothers of a different variety that we spoke to. And for the month of June, I said we need balance, so we have been interviewing fathers of a wide range of experience, so from newbie fathers only a couple of months old to fathers who have been in fatherhood for 20 plus years. And now with us, we have no stranger to the airwaves, Tanguy Exumé. He is a father, poet, teacher, podcaster, salsa dancer, and CrossFitter. We interviewed him back in January, and now he's back again because he is a father, but not only that, he's also a stepfather. And I feel like in our community, you know, we don't give props to stepfathers as well. And tonight we'll be talking to him about the duality of being both a stepfather and a father. Tanguy, thank you so much for coming back on the air with us and talking to us about fatherhood, which I think is a very important topic that we need to address and we need to pay homage to regularly. How are you doing, Tanguy?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much for, you know, welcoming me once again. I don't know. Now, I used to keep tab of how many times I was on the show, but now I'm just not keeping tab anymore. You know, it's like, it's been, I don't know, but it's always a pleasure to be with you. And I love the idea of venturing into, motherhood and fatherhood or parenthood in general. And I love what you're doing. So of course, when you reached out, I had to say yes.
Yeah.
And I'm doing good. You know, it's end of the year for me in school. So I'm a teacher. So there's a lot of, like, my calendar is like little dots after little dots after little dots.
Right.
But you know, we're doing good. We here and it's not that cold anymore. So my heart is a little bit warmer, you know, yeah. Like being in, you in Montreal probably know best, but I know
yep.
you guys can get a last minute thing. You know, this white thing coming from the
yeah,
from the
yeah.
Evans.
We had it in April. Normally we get a little bit in May. We'll see if it happens or not this year.
That's right.
I hope it doesn't, but you know, I look out for it with one eye, as we say in the
yeah.
Caribbean. Yeah.
Nature can play tricks on us, but I'm doing good, man. I'm even though there's stressful moments in the life during this time, but doing good and looking forward to converse with you and looking forward to hearing other people too, their perspective on parenthood, motherhood and fatherhood. It's always a blast to converse with people that are, I feel like once you become a parent,
mm-hmm.
like your environment changes.
Absolutely.
And you hang out with parents, or you're attracted to people that have kids, because that's your reality,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
and also, like, you hang out with people around the same age, and groups tends to have kids and event in the same, you know, age group.
Yeah.
But I feel like once you're a parent, you hang out and you can commiserate together, you can share, and you can
yeah, it's a completely different vibe. It's when people, especially when people have their children around the same time, you
yeah.
know, it's a completely different vibe. You know, good friends become uncles,
mm-hmm.
Honorary uncles. You know, because not all the time do we have our, not all of us have siblings. So you know,
that's right.
We have the honorary uncles, and then. You know, you watch the children grow, and then eventually, if you have the privilege and the honor of having a child yourself, you get to see how your children interact with your friends' children and how those mm-hmm. bonds start to be formed as well.
Yeah.
So it does change things, and then there's always like one or two friends that have children really early. So their children are older, and then you know, everybody else starts having kids, and it's like to see the age gaps and to see children taking care of the smaller kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lovely thing to see and to be able to experience. But you, like I said before, you had the honor. Well, for me, I would call it an honor and a privilege to find yourself falling in love with someone who already had a child. So almost,
yeah.
Because I also used to always somehow find women and become attracted to women who had children. Like it just,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it was their motherly aura that attracted me, but I've had those situations happen as well. So speak to us a little bit about your experience, because when you met her, we have spoken before on this topic a little bit. She made it clear to you that you're getting a package deal.
It was crystal clear. So crystal clear that mm-hmm. we often joke about the card that she pulled, because the way that she pulled that card
okay.
for the backstory was like, we met at a club, in like we were dancing salsa, and then I asked her for a phone number, and she was about to give me a phone number and take my phone number as well.
Right.
And then, but she, before that, she was like, oh, just a second, I need to check if I receive a message from my nanny. like from the person, from the my babysitter.
Right.
So all of a sudden she dropped that little thing in there. I was like, I have a babysitter that's taking care of my kid while I'm here.
Right.
And then she literally looked at my face to look at my reaction of like, how do you react to that mm-hmm. when we are having some chemistry here, but I want you to know from the get-go, before even getting your number, I'm not interested in anything else and even going further without yeah. you knowing that I already have a kid. And for me, I didn't pay too much attention to it, but I acknowledge the fact that, you know, yeah, she has a kid, and I'm like, okay, yeah. So everyone, people have kids, like, you know, I mean, it's fine. Like it's normal. So, you know, take care of what you need to take care of. And then let me have your number.
Let's go. All right. What
the only part here is
you
like,
try to do let's, have, like, let's go.
That's right. Let's go. Right.
Yeah.
But even that, it's more from that moment, I realized that it needed to be an intentional conversation.
Right.
As we were progressing into our relationship, because we cannot like we, because for her, it was very clear, I could not immerse myself in their life without addressing that part. Mm-hmm. And it was challenging because, you know, I'm in my like late 20s, early 30s. You know, I've dated before, but it was never to that extent where, right. where it's like, you know, the scheduling or the activities or even my presence around, you know, means something. Yeah. So I remember the first time that I met my son right now, he was 8, 9 years old, you know, and we started to connect, started to joke around, but I could feel his mother being a little bit apprehensive because not knowing exactly where are we going with all this? Because right. if I include you in my relationship, then I want you to know that you have a place and you have an influence. Mm. And if something would happen between me and her negatively, what that would literally mean that would break the kid's heart. You see what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like because obviously if she is single and getting to know somebody else, that means the person that she had before in her life is no longer there. Right.
Exactly.
So that's going to re-aggravate like the relationship and that. So it was navigating not only fatherhood, mm-hmm. but navigating as well, like being a man, a partner entering the relationship.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
So all this was a factor and it took a lot of intentional thinking. However, every single time that I was going through that relationship, I was putting myself in his shoes, in my son's shoes,
right?
To be like, you know, you have a responsibility to be as truthful as you can be to not only the mother, mm-hmm. but to him,
yeah.
right? Like to build that relationship. And I didn't pretend to be his father, because he knows his father. He had a relationship with his father.
Yeah.
And I never as well provided my opinion on his father because
right.
I grew up in a home where my mom and my dad separated. I was 12 years old.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And I've seen some animosity that existed on my mom's side towards my dad's new partner.
Mm.
Right. And it affected me in a certain way. And I kind of like took that as well subconsciously,
yeah.
right? And I didn't want that to be portrayed towards me.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like went through that relationship treating him with as an equal, not as a friend, but as someone that as an adult that's caring for a kid. See what I mean? And then
you mean your son's father?
Pardon me?
This is your relationship with your son's father?
No, this is my relationship with my son.
Okay.
Right. So with my son's father, I would have hoped that we could, you know, be that beautiful, like harmonious stepfather, biological father relationship where we can both support our kid.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that. And I didn't force the issue. It pained me because I was like, you know, my son is missing the opportunity to know his biological father.
Yeah.
But we had some clear conversation, my son and I, about, like, you know, how does he see me? Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time that he's like, you're my father. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, okay, well, wow. I upgraded here. Right. You know, I upgraded here. So I'm like, if I'm your father, that makes you my son. He's like, yeah, sure. And I think he was like 11 or 12 years old. So mm-hmm. 2-3 years in the relationship where we started to really build foundation of like of living together and having a home and all that, right? And he started to refer to me as his father. There was never my stepfather, and I never referred to him as my stepson. Right. It's tough because you're trying to. I think the best way to put it is to just be true to who you are mm-hmm. entering a relationship like that, right? To be true to what are you providing. So I know that when I entered that relationship, he had some trouble at school in terms of, like, you know, homework and all that. And his mom is a teacher, and myself, I wasn't a teacher yet, but, you know, I was always interested in school stuff. So I'm like, right. I can connect with you on this, right? Mm-hmm, and then we started to do little jogging together, and we started, you know, he was in a lacrosse team, and we would play, you know, lacrosse, like throwing the ball and then playing with the stick and all that. And we started to build that relationship at the level that he was at without going too deep. And then when there was opportunities to go deep, is to be open to what he's telling me, right? So I always say that I'm always grateful and appreciative that he made me a father, mm-hmm. right? Like both figuratively and literally, right? Mm-hmm. He made me a father. Like, he gave birth to me in a father, and I learned to be a father through him, right? But the part that was interesting is that I started at 9 years old with him. So I always tell people, I know how to raise kids from 9 and up.
Yeah.
Don't ask me from 0 and 9. I don't know. I have no experience.
From 0 to 9, you're started from scratch.
From 9, bring it to me at 9, I'll take care of it. Yeah. From 0 to 9, I don't know. Right?
Right.
So that's how it started, really. And I drew from my own experience as when my mom and my dad separated. It's when my mom and my dad separated that I saw my dad more often mm-hmm. than when they were together.
Wow. Okay.
And that scarred me because I did not understand why it took that, right? Like,
right.
It's like, this guy doesn't accept us with my mom, but he accepts us without my mom. I didn't understand the dynamic, right?
Right.
It scarred me. So I was like, I want to be there for my son, mm-hmm. right? And that's the part in fatherhood that's beautiful, and especially in a relationship of stepson, is that you choose that mm-hmm. with all your heart. It's a choice. It's like it's like super intentional,
yeah.
as opposed to just like, you know, well, it, I don't say that biologically you don't choose it, but what I'm saying is that biologically, well, there's a link that's already there, the blood link, and then, well, it's there. Right. And then, of course, up to you to choose to pursue it or not. And I have my opinion about if you decide not to pursue it. But that's a separate issue. But in terms of like step fatherhood or step parenthood, it's a choice. It's a conscious choice because you're presented with the fact that I can continue with that or I decide or not to.
Yeah.
Right.
And the choice is constantly there. Like, you have to actively make that choice on a regular basis.
Exactly.
Even
exactly.
on days when you're just like, whoo, this child is trying my last nerve.
Right.
And I'm sure there must be those days.
Yeah. And even when the biological father comes in mm-hmm. with now certain demands after not being in the picture.
Right.
Because, you know, like, people, human, we are territorial, right?
So
if you finish building your home in a certain way and your ways with your family in a certain way, and you believe that, you know, the kid accepts you as his father, you accept them as your son, and then at certain sporadic moment, the biological parent will emerge and say, right. I disagree with that.
Yeah.
Well, my first instinct is like, where the fuck were you?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I cursed on the radio show, but
it's all good.
But it's like, you know, like, where were you? Like,
right.
what? Like, come
all
on.
This time.
Like, you disappeared. And then just because you have a biological link, makes you feel that you can unsubscribe for 2 years and then back up and subscribe back up. Doesn't work like that. You see what I mean? So, and when you see that you who did it, who has, this is not necessarily like any blood in the fight. You decided to, from your own intention, to say, yes, I agree to this. And then you see some dude that disappeared and come back and be like, hey, this is the way I would like to run things. And like, hell no, it doesn't work like this. Right. So, but it takes, and you want to make sure that your son doesn't register that as, or you rejecting who I am.
Right.
Right. Through their father.
It's so layered, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is very layered.
Because I think about myself, and like yourself, my parents separated when I was young. They separated when I was half your age, actually, about six or seven. And in speaking with my mother and my stepmother for the Black Mothers Tribute in May, my mother was very intentional in making sure that she communicated with my stepmother and making sure that she had a connection with her, which I didn't know. And that fascinated me because I had countries that separated and large bodies of water and land that separated my parents from one another. So when my parents separated, we were in Jamaica. So my mother moved back to Canada and my father was in Jamaica. And then, you know, they decided on custody and they decided that I would stay with my father. And my father met my stepmother in Jamaica and they moved in together. And then it was either my mother was in Canada or my mother was in Haiti. Like, we weren't ever living consistently in the same space together. So my mother made sure that she would have conversations with my stepmother about me. And I didn't know that they had formed that kind of connection. I don't know if you can call it a friendship now, but they still speak to this day. Every once in a while, every few moons or so, my mother will send her a WhatsApp to find out how she's doing. I find that to kind of shape, and having had a stepmother who I had since I was 7 years old, she did my first surprise birthday for me that I remember vividly to this day. And so myself in, you know, finding women that end up having one child, two child, whatever the case may be, it was never a question for me. It's like, I'm already attracted to you. You have kids. It is what it is. Yeah. And I have a great step parent. I have a great stepmother. So I'll just do my best to, like, if we decide to walk in this life together, I'll do my best to be a good stepfather to your child or your children. There's never a question in my mind. You know, it's like, if you love that woman, then I love your child. And I also kind of set myself up. I'm like, I know one day this child is going to look at me and tell me, you are not my father. So I just accept that that might happen. I accept that, you know, there might be tension between me and their father at some point. I accept all the possibilities, but I don't go in with a negative mindset.
Yeah.
You know, I go in with a mindset of, okay, here's everything that could happen. I'm going to do my best every day to be a good person.
That's right.
And invariably, I am going to be a father figure at the very least. Even if that child never calls me father, I'm still going to be a father figure. I'm still going to be someone that they look at for guidance at some point in time, whether their father is present or not. So yeah, it's just present in my mind at all times that I'm going to be there for them. But we are on the radio, and us, we can talk forever. So we do have to take a quick break and pay some bills, play some music. If you're just tuning in for the first time, this is the conclusion of our series celebrating Black Fatherhood for the month of June. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Nous sommes nos propres pères, si jeunes et pourtant si vieux, ça me fait penser. Tu sais, nous sommes nos propres mères, si jeunes et si sérieux, mais ça va changer. Oh,
on passe le temps
à faire des plans pour le lendemain. À quoi ça sert si on n'est pas sûr de voir demain? À rien.
Alors on vit chaque jour comme le dernier. Et vous feriez pareil si seulement vous saviez combien de fois la fin du monde nous a volé. Alors on vit chaque jour comme le dernier. Parce qu'on vient de loin.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we are wrapping up our celebration of Black Fathers. And so throughout this month, we've met fathers who just had a child, so they're taking care of a newborn, a father who had six children, and we also had a father who was, I like to say, well-seasoned in that he has a much, much older child that's in his late 20s and 30s. And we had to find either a grandfather or a stepfather. And in Tanguy, we found a man who is both stepfather and father, and I wanted to make sure that the representation was there. Tanguy Exumé, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing with us your perspective. So before the break, we were talking about fatherhood and like that initial introduction that was very intentional by your partner in letting you know, okay, this is a package deal that that you're getting. And you spoke to us about, and I love that you speak about your son. You don't speak about your stepson, you speak about your son. Because at one point he just came to you and told you straight up, boldface, you're my father.
That's it.
All right. So take us back to that moment. Like, how did that conversation happen? Because one thing I enjoy about you, because I listen to your podcasts, and you always talk about intention. And even now, in before the break, you talk about being very intentional. How did that conversation happen? Take us back to that moment.
Well, the conversation happened, number one. Him and his mom, they went to, I always confuse Disney World and Disneyland because I've never been myself.
Right.
But they went to the one in California.
Okay.
So people will figure it out. I don't know how it's called, but yeah. Disney World or Disneyland, whatever it is. And they missed their flight and they had trouble. And then I think when they were coming back to Canada, the immigration agent asked him, you know, who's coming to pick you up? I don't know. I think like making conversation with him, who's right. coming to pick him.
Right.
And then I was supposed to come and pick him up. And he says, my father's coming to pick me up.
Mm.
And my partner was like, she was taken aback. She's like, first, that's the first time I'm ever hearing him Like, you know, usually you would just see my first name. Tengi will come and pick me up.
Right.
But it's like what does that mean?
Right.
And then when we got into the car, welcomed them and everything. And then my partner asked him to be like, hey, this is like, there's something interesting you said. And he said, what? He said, well, you said your father's going to pick you up. And he's like, yeah, he's my father. Mm. You're my father. Right. And then couple of months later, he even mentioned, we used to refer to each other. We were not married yet. We referred myself and my partner to my partner. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I kind of don't like when you guys refer to each other as partners. It seems like business partners, and it seems right. like you're in a business thing. And maybe there's like, you guys can refer to yourself, I don't know, like as romantic partners or, but just partner like that is dry.
Right.
And I saw that.
I like that. That's so dry, man.
That's so dry, right? And he was 12, 13 years old. And I'm like, so you really invested in that. In that thing. It's like, yeah, you're my father and that's my mother. Mm-hmm. And my father and my mother are not just business partners, right? There's something else, and you guys love each other, etc. And we felt that it was a good, and I feel that it's a culture that we try to develop in our family, to kind of have honest conversation from the heart,
yeah.
whether it's positive or negative.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always speaking from the heart. So and always having the possibility to go back on your words, because you might say something because you were angry. And if you speak from the heart, then you have the possibility to come back and review it.
Yeah.
But that's how it happened, right? Like, he was like, you're my father. And it was very matter of fact.
Yeah.
And it took me by surprise, because I was thinking on the lines of, I'm a father figure.
Right.
But you know, to have that title, I can guarantee you, I started to have gray hair at that moment. Right? Like, I started to have gray hair, because I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay, now I have big responsibilities, right?
You
like,
felt the weight of responsibility resting on
right.
your shoulders.
That's right. And it's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. To feel weight of responsibilities. Like, we sometimes shy away from our responsibilities, mm-hmm. For whatever reasons. But I felt like that weight was, although it was heavy, mm-hmm. I felt that I was, maybe he saw in me a change of attitude that showed that I was ready, you yeah. know, to be committed in that relationship with his mother. And and by default, be committed in the relationship with him. Because mm. his mother also made him feel that, we are a package. We are a team,
yeah.
right? So he knows wherever his mother goes, he goes. So therefore, if and because we kind of like try to have that culture of you know, speaking from the heart, then we were able to know where each individual stand.
Yeah.
And when I'm reading a book right now by Bell Hooks, All About Love.
Okay.
And. You said about intention, and that's something that I've always had, like, subconsciously, but I never had someone smarter than me mentioning it.
Yeah.
So I always thought that, oh, well, I don't know if that thing is true. Mm-hmm. And then reading Bell Hooks about All About Love, there's something that she said in there. She's like, you know, people talk about, like, love being something from the heart,
mm.
but it's something that we rationally choose.
Yep.
Right? And I've always mentioned that when I talk to people about my relationship with my partner or my son, I've always felt like it's a different kind of love. It's like, it's very rational.
Yep.
Right? I love them with all my heart, but I can weigh that love properly, rationally. Right? Mm-hmm. And it's not all emotion. There's a very tangible decision there. Right. And Bell Hooks mentioned that in All About Love, in terms of like, we talk about love as if it only involves emotion and pull towards another person.
Yeah.
But that pull can only get you so far, mm. because when things get tough,
mm-hmm.
that pull is not going to pull you out of it. It's going to take some, it's going to be muddy. It's going to be dirty. It's going to require uncomfortable, like, conversations.
Situations. Yeah.
And I've had my fair share of like uncomfortable conversations with my partner, uncomfortable yeah. conversation with my son, putting myself out there, talking about my experience as a kid who took my parents' separation very, very, like, it took me 16 years to get over it.
Wow.
Took me 16 years. And you know what? Like, and you will understand that because I know you're that kind of guy, like, mm-hmm. that understand those, like, energy. The day that I made peace with my parents' divorce is the day that I met my partner.
Wow.
The same night, the morning of, I made peace with that. Like, it's, I remember vividly, it was a Saturday, I made peace with that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like, it. I let go. I was like, I kind of like, look at my parents' separation for what it truly was,
right.
and not an indictment on myself.
Yeah.
And that's when I was able to move on to find another step in my life, wow. right? But all the relationship that I have with my son, I take it from the lens of how I would have loved to have my own family growing up, mm. right? Mm-hmm. What type of relationship I would have liked in my home, right? Because I didn't grow up necessarily with seeing a harmonious relationship between two individuals. I did not see that. I did not witness it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm every single day I'm reminding myself of what do I want to do in my own home. Right. And that includes a big part of like how to be a father properly, right? How to lead my kids, how to follow them. Mm-hmm. More than leading them, because they go wherever they want.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I have developed the mindset of my children don't belong to me. I belong to my children. Mm-hmm. And like, I get pushback, you know, we don't belong to anybody. And I guess I'm also not clear in what I mean by belonging. If I have someone who is dependent on me for their well-being, their health, their mental health, their guide and navigation in the world, I am intentionally putting myself as their protector, as I belong to them, not mm-hmm. they belong mm-hmm. to me, because once I impart that knowledge, the day that they decide, you know, okay, Dad, I got my license now, you know,
yeah.
I got my, yeah. I saved up my money and I have my first car. It's like, or even less than that, you know, okay, Dad, I'm going on the bus alone now. I don't want yeah. you to come with me on the bus, or I don't want you to drop me off anymore. I'm going to go and hang out. Like, they decide to spread their own wings and we just have to like trust that whatever we taught them yes. is gonna allow them to accomplish whatever their dreams are, their hopes, whether they
that's
have them
right.
or not.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. It's we are as parents just guardians of of their souls. That's all we are. Guardians of their bodily soul or earthly soul. And then, you know, there's responsibilities that we have between, you know, when they are minors, and then there's things that we have to guard. But after a while, I think if we did our job well, they should be able to fly on their own.
Yeah.
Right? If the job is done well, if the job is done towards what they wanted to do, and mm-hmm. we can guide them there, then you're successful. And you know that it's never, what I've learned with my son being right now is that he's turning 23 very soon.
Wow.
So it's realizing that the problems are never over. They get bigger.
Right.
Okay.
They get bigger?
Oh yeah, they get bigger.
Oh wow, okay.
They get bigger.
For example?
If we think about even our own relationship with our parents, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't know, when you were 15, 14, your worries is not belonging to a group necessarily, or having a little fits because your parent don't let you go out. And, you know, mm-hmm. when you're 2 years old, you throw a tantrum because, you know, you wanted something and they don't give it to you. That's minor problems, right?
Okay.
When you're 23, 24, 25, or 30, your right. problems are bigger because maybe you went to a divorce mm. and your mom has to welcome you back home.
Wow.
Or maybe you lost your job and your mom has to finance you. maybe the problems get bigger.
I didn't think about it that way.
As a parent, you remain a parent.
Yeah.
And also all that considered, like, that is if it's something that you decide, if it's something that you choose, if it's something that within the cards that you wanted to play.
Yeah.
If once you are a parent, you are a parent.
Yeah.
So my mom right now is 72 years old. Mm-hmm. Whenever I talk to her, if I have a little hint of like worry in my voice, sort of like, you know, Creole, what's going on, you know? Like, and it's like that little pull that you have to help your kid is always there. And then, but the problem is bigger and bigger and bigger because they get more complex. There's more layers into them, right?
Right.
So, but, you know, it's I don't know. I attribute all my gray hair right now to my children.
Okay.
That's the only thing that I have against them. I'm like, you know, when I look at pictures of me in like, you know, 2006, I looked, you know, like a young, fresh, you know, pretty boy. Now I look at pictures and I'm like, what the hell happened? Like,
you're mature. You're a well-aged bottle of wine now. That's how you should look at it. This is fascinating to me. So let's step forward a bit because you have your biological son. So your second son is your biological son. So tell us a little bit about that. I mean, it like you said earlier, you know, you knew how to raise a child from 9 and up. And now, how old is your son, your second son?
The second one is turning 7 in July. Mm-hmm. So the gap between him and his older brother is 16 years.
Okay.
So that's the gap. And how it came to be, my oldest son hinted at wanting a brother at age 14.
Wow.
And we were like, you out of your mind. You out of your mind. Like, this, it's not gonna happen. My partner didn't want to have another kid.
Okay.
That was very clear from the moment. The second thing that came after her telling me that she has a kid was, I don't want another one. It's like I have one. I don't want another one. Case closed. Are you in? And
I'm like, are you in? Are you out? Right.
Of course, I am in. But and there was zero hint in me, like desiring me into like convincing her otherwise, right? I was very satisfied with having our son, our first one, and we were happy, and I felt all the this like little thing that parenthood can give you with the first one, and I was happy.
Wow. Right? Okay.
And then as the relationship matured, I don't know, there's something that, you know, I asked my partner, can we revisit that. You know, decision of not having another one,
right?
Like what do you say we go for it? What do we say we try? And and you know, she did her I don't know, not soul searching, but she kind of like reflected on it, and we put the pros and cons, but what we would like to have in raising another child, because we were like, our son is 16 years old.
Yeah,
we are starting over. Right. Like, because, you know, there's the typical, like, you look at the end of the tunnel, it's 18, then he can spread his own wings. And then us, we can be like, quote unquote, free.
Right.
But she accepted, and then we weigh everything, and then we decided to have another kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was I would rather have 3 9-year-old and up than to have a 0 between 0 and 3. Like it's fantastic. Like, you know, it's beautiful if you choose it and everything. But the lack of sleep, I wasn't too much fun of that at all. You know, it felt heavier than my first son. It felt like a grind, right? And supporting also. It was my first time supporting a woman through pregnancy.
Right.
It was my first time supporting a woman post-pregnancy.
Right.
Right. And making sure that, I think as a Black man, the idea of being the provider weighed on me even more. Wow. On that sense.
Yeah.
Because my partner was on mat leave, and then, you know, you take like whatever you have for mat leave is not compensating enough, and then you're thinking about finances, and then you like that get into your mind, and you're like, can I be the sole provider? There was kind of like lingering deep masculine issues that I haven't dealt with.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like showed me another layer of like, well, biologically this is this. And yeah. Then it's as if, yes, I had embraced the stepfatherhood.
Yeah.
But I haven't, like, you know, done the work properly, mm-hmm. within myself to really fully embrace what it is to be a parent, what it is to be a male in a relationship, mm-hmm. until my son arrived, right? Yeah, my biological son. So it was hard, right? Mm-hmm. It took a recalibration. But the part that was fantastic of having that big age gap is that our oldest one stepped up to the plate whenever he could.
Wow.
Right? Whenever he could, it's like, you know, and then he embrace his brother and provide little help, even if it was 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there. Like, you know, you could take a shower in peace, or you could, you know, right. like cook something really quick, or he would cook, right? Like, he would take over certain things, certain responsibility in the home or with his brother. And that made it, and we had to create that space as well. Because mm-hmm. me and my partner, we realized, oh, we're not only two, there's three of us.
Yeah.
There's three of us. So that's a bonus, right? So we call them sometimes our built-in babysitter.
Yeah.
Because we're like, you're going to step up here. Your brother's sleeping. Stay in the home. Don't mm-hmm. leave. We're just going for a walk.
Right.
So it was nice, but it's another feeling, right? It's another feeling to see someone that looked like you. Right, to touch them, and then to worry that, you know, in terms of like blackness, you know, to worry how is that person going to navigate the world, right? Yeah. And what experience will they have, right? Yeah. And how can I make sure that I partake into them what was partaking to me when I was growing up.
Yeah.
But it's in another environment, right? Like, like there's certain things growing up in the Caribbean takes care of it. Like, you see yourself black, you're black everywhere you turn.
Yeah.
You're black, it's right there, it's in the radio. Yeah. Like, you kind of like, the environment takes care of it. And here you have to again come back to intention. Like, you have to go through that, right? Yeah. So that's another challenge.
That's another big, big challenge. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Tanguy Exumé, who is a poet, teacher, podcaster, salsa dancer, CrossFitter, and for the month of June, we are emphasizing the other title, which is father. We do have to take a quick break, pay some bills, play some music, keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Now that I escape, sleep, walk, awake.
Yeah.
Those who correlate know the world ain't kick. Jail bars ain't golden gates. Those who fake, they break. When they meet their 400-pound mate, if I could rule the world, everyone would have a gun in the ghetto, of course. When get the up and on their horse. Kick around, drinking moonshine. I pour a sip on the concrete for the deceased, but no, don't weep. White clefs in a state of sleep, thinking about the robbery that I did last week. Money in the bag, banker look like a drag. I wanna play with pelicans from here to Baghdad. Gun blast, think fast, I think I'm hit. My girl pinched my hips to see if I still exist. I think not, I'll send a letter to my friends. A born again, a hooligan, only to be king again.
Ready or not, here I come, you can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. Find you and make you want me.
Yo.
I
play my enemies like a game of chess where I rest. No stress if you don't smoke cess. Less, I must confess, my destiny's manifest. In some cortex and sweats, I make tracks like I'm homeless. Rap orgies with Borgie and Bess. Capture your bounty like Elliot Ness. Yes, bless you if you represent the fool. But I hex you with some witch's brew if you do do. Voodoo, I could do what you do. Easy. Believe me, frontin' niggas give me heebie-jeebies. So why you imitating Al Capone? I be Nina Simone and defecating on your microphone. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you. And take it slowly. You can't run away from these stars. I got, oh baby, hey baby, cause I got a lot.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My guest this evening is the final guest for our series, Black Fathers, celebrating Black Fathers for the month of June, Tongi Exumé. Poet, teacher, podcaster, salsa dancer, crossfitter, and of course, father. Tongi, thank you so much for being here and sharing with us your experience, as your dual experience as being a father of a child who is not biologically yours, and then, you know, deciding to kind of reversing things and go into fatherhood after you had been a father figure, a father for 5 years, six, seven years, and then decide to, okay, now we're gonna do the reverse of the Drake song. We're started from here, now we're at the bottom.
Exactly. Yes. And you know what? What's funny, because the day that we were driving, my second son, we call him True Caribbean,
okay,
because he was due on June 24th, he arrived on July 4th, 10 days later, you know? Like, if there was any doubt that the guy's Caribbean, you know, we erase any doubt. So we are on the highway, right, driving, because not only he didn't arrive, we had to get, my wife was induced, so that's why he arrived, or else he would stay there.
Right.
But, we're on our way to the hospital, and like, we know that he's gonna be born like soon. And my wife and I, we turn and we look at each other. We're like, so we're starting over, eh? So, yeah. So we started over, and it was beautiful. It's still, I love seeing the dynamic between the two kids.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I even joke that I don't know who's 22 and I don't know who's 6.
Right.
Because they just mash into each other. They are just like typical siblings, poking each other, making fun of each other, jumping on each other. And then you have to be the father around to be like, hey, like, please just stop. Stop yelling, or stop screaming, or stop, you know, you just, so.
You invoke your inner Kevin Hart. Hey,
that's right,
sit up. Go over there, you. You invoke the inner Kevin Hart again.
You mix up the names, but it's a beautiful experience. And I love the fact that one thing that I'm glad that I'm leaving for my oldest son is a companion, mm-hmm, someone that is his blood, that he can, you know, that he can do life with, yeah, right? If my wife and I, we're no longer on this earth, he has someone that he can, you know, that he can go through life with, right? Yeah. So it's true that the age gap is 16 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, the way I see it is that one day he'll be 36 and the other one will be 20. And there's no age gap. That's it. Right.
Yeah.
Like, from this moment, it's done.
I mean, love that you said that, because there is a point in life whereby it no longer matters. Right. Like,
yeah.
once a person passes a certain age. And for me, I've been examining this thing of like adulthood. And where does adulthood start, right? Uh-huh. Because I think about my parents, and my father was 26 and my mother was 22 when they had me. And I had like a pregnancy scare with my partner, my girlfriend at the time, that I was around 25, 26. And Donkey, let me tell you something, man. There was nothing scarier than that. I think I was 25. It was the most horrifying thing that could have ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, hell no, my life is over. And so I as I reflect on life, I'm like, are we truly adults just because society says, okay, at 18 you're a legal adult, you can drink alcohol, or at 21, like in the States, 21 is when you can go to clubs and stuff. Like, the responsibility of being an adult, like, trust me, I was not, my mindset, I was still in school, I was still living at my mother's house, you know, having a child for me, it was nowhere near my consciousness, you know, and, but then there's this other thing, this other idea in my mind is like, if I did have a child at 24, 25, right now, today, that child would be in their late teens.
Yes.
Very close to, like, they would be 16, 17, 18 right now. And then there's a part of me that's like, having that child, knowing who I was, would cause me to adapt.
Yes.
And to grow up faster. Yeah. And there's this other thing, because I like yourself, I love to read, and I read this book called The Spirit of Intimacy by Malidoma's wife, Patrice Malidoma's wife, Subunfu Somme. And she says that when it comes to the relationships in the Dahomey tribe, or maybe I'm mixing things up. I might be mixing it up. Don't quote me on this. But I read somewhere that in certain tribes, when parents have children, they usually have the children young, and they leave them with the grandparents to go off and live their life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they come back to once they've reached maturity, whatever that means, they come back and they continue being a parent.
Mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. I find that to be absolutely fascinating, because I have a young son. He's 4 years old. And I know in my heart that if for some reason or the other my son decides to have a child very young, I'm going to tell my son, like, intention, you and your partner move in with me. If I hope I will have a bigger home. Move in with me. If you're having trouble and you're struggling and whatever, you can move in. Have the child here, right? The child will be in my care. I will accept responsibility for my grandchild. You live your life as best as you can, and then when the time is right, you will take care of fatherhood. Like, we have this thing of like, if a child is born out of wedlock or young kids or whatever, there's always like rejection, and okay, you gotta be a man now. And for me, I'm just that's not my mindset.
Yeah. And that's beautiful, because there is, you were talking about certain tribes, and there is like some First Nations teachings that say that whatever we do, we will affect seven generations. Kind of like a link between seven generations. And us as human being, we will most likely live as a kid, as a parent, as a grandparent, and sometimes as a great-great-grandparent.
Right.
Right? Like, we might fulfill all those roles within our lifespan.
Yeah.
Right? So meaning that we are all encompassing, like, everything is kind of like interrelated. So separating the family in terms of like, I don't know if that's a good practice to kind of like push away when someone has a kid, especially if they have a kid young. Yeah. And then my biggest question is too, is like, why do we do it? We push people away when they have their kids young, but when they have their kids at a certain age, what does that mean? What do we do when they have a kid at a certain age, yeah, right? Yeah. So it's kind of like, why don't we, living in a certain, in a community, and the relationship that kids have with their parents versus the relationship that they have with their grandparents, completely different.
Yeah.
It's completely different. They have, there's something, there's a joke going around that grandparenthood is doing parenting right. Like, yes, it's your second chance as parenting,
yes,
right? Like you're doing it right this time, because when you had the kid, you didn't know,
you didn't know.
Or grandparenthood, you have the chance to do that. And I would love to see my grandkids, like you know, to be able to. I even tell my children, however, that, you know what, give me a few years for me to kind of like relax, you know, to recoup from all the hardship that I had with you.
Yeah.
And after the 2-year grace period, you're free. Like, go ahead. Yeah. You know, so
do what you gotta
do. Do what you gotta do. Right. Yeah. But I think families, this is a complex structure, and we try to put it as, you know, you need to have a mother and a father and 2 kids, and that's like the format.
Yeah.
But there's so many different shape and form of having a family.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why parenting is difficult, because you have to navigate the different ways of having a family. Right. But that's why you need to know as well, very well, what are you looking for as a parent, or why are you a parent? Why did you decide to be a parent, right?
Yes.
And that part is the part that makes parenting worth it, when you put the thought and the intention in there, and then your reflection, and then you can review what you wanted, and then you can decide to discard what you wanted or keep what you want, and then move on. Then you can give your kids the full experience of your own being.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you need to constantly learn about your own self so you can provide that to your kids.
Yeah.
Because by learning about yourself, you're teaching your kid that you're not a like fixed stature thing that stays like, my dad is my dad is my dad, and it stays like this.
Yeah.
It never evolves, or it never changes, or it never review the version that they want to be in this world. Right. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, parenthood is constantly evolving, or at least the best practice in parenthood would be to constantly evolve. And I love that you brought up how grandparents is parenting done right. Because when I was speaking to, I had Maggie Metelus, who is a grandmother, and you know, when you mentioned, you know, being able to be a great grandparent, her parents are great grandparents, and like she was able to see all of this four generational,
yes,
gap, and like how her parents treated her children versus her, mm-hmm, and her sister,
yeah,
and her brothers, and then how her parents treat the grandchildren, you know, and and how much of a privilege and how much she in turn realized that, you know, how she treats her grandchildren differs greatly from how she treated her children.
Yes, yes,
you know?
Yes.
And it all makes sense to me. Like when we think about original indigenous practices, and when I say indigenous, I mean, you know, people who come from a certain country and who were never removed, and like, you know, some of them are colonized within their own country, but they keep the original practices, or they return to their original practices. There's something there among the different cultures of like parents and family structure that is not what our European colonizer mentality ingrained on us, you know. Like, there's not this separation of families. It's always it's always togetherness, and it's always keeping a close-knit family style, and I totally appreciate and love that style of parenting, because it just seems to make sense to me. you know?
It's
just, this makes sense. Just like when your son said, oh, my father's coming to pick us up. It just makes sense. It doesn't have to follow some mathematical equation.
That's right.
It resonates in my core. This feels right.
Yes.
And this is what I'm going to do.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And it's like, it's dissociate with the legalism. That's the thing, right? Like we are, our Western view of families, legalized families, right? It becomes something to be, you know, formalized
and structured as opposed to
it already has a structure, right? And then, but the community can provide it the structure and the shape depending on the season, right? Like I remember growing up in Haiti and during embargo, right? Like, I could not live at my parents, at my mom's.
Okay.
So because we were in Collège Antillais and in Pétionville, so my auntie lived in Pétionville. So from Monday to Friday, I was living at my auntie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fridays, I would, you know, bus home and then spend the weekend there and come back. That's the structure of a family.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So and then when I was like 17, 18, I moved to Montreal and I lived at an auntie. Well, that was my family then. So depending on the season, the family can change. The people providing the care can change, right? But if we go through legalism, then all of a sudden, well, I'm sorry, it's not on the paper, it's not on the document, it's not on blah, 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 right? So it becomes like something that is like manufactured, it's not organic and it's not loving, because if I'm not on the paper, I'm not going to take care of you.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Tanguy Exumé about fatherhood and parenting as well. We do have to take a quick break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. I can be a bull when I'm being polite.
Every man I'm on my team is a top general.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back for the final time this evening and the final time for this month. We are celebrating Black Fathers here on Soul Perspectives. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest is no stranger to the airwaves. He's been on multiple times before and multiple times this year. This is the second time this year. Tanguy Exumé, poet, teacher, podcaster, and of course, father. Tanguy, thank you so much for being here, my brother. It has been an amazing conversation. Like, whenever we have conversations, because I've been on your podcast as well, you know, we just go all over the place, and I love it. I love it. And, you know, like I said to you the last time you were on here, conversations make me feel full, and I'm very glad for this meal that we have exchanged.
Likewise, bro. Likewise.
So I want to close off with a question. What does fatherhood mean for you now that you've had this experience of raising a 9-year-old to now 20 some odd years, and then deciding to go back and have start back at that zero point?
Yeah,
what does fatherhood mean to you now?
Fatherhood is like, I defined it over the years. I had so many definitions of it. At times, it's a huge responsibility. At other times, it's a big privilege and honor. But it's kind of, it's very hard to define it because it's kind of like you have a responsibility to take care of people now. Mm-hmm. But whatever you do now will not be felt now, but in years from now.
Years to come, yeah.
Years to come, right? So the responsibility that I have, I look at fatherhood as a responsibility, mm-hmm. a responsibility to make sure that I raise, like, competent, responsible, loving, and caring human beings, right?
Yeah.
And I approach it as well, because I'm a teacher, you're always teaching in parenthood.
Right.
Even when you're not teaching. Your mannerism, your face, your accent, your way to move, like whatever you do,
how you always treat people.
Exactly. You're mm-hmm. always teaching. And your kids and the people that you're raising are always watching you.
Yep.
Always. Always. And then but the thing that they don't know is that you're always watching them too.
Yep.
So they are parenting too, in a way, right? Mm-hmm. They are like teaching you ways to be. But I think the main thing is really teaching them, because the person that you're raising will be either an artist, will be either a musician, will be either a nurse, will be either an architect, will be either a psychologist, will be either a bandmate. Like, they can be whatever. And you want that in any sphere that they get, mm-hmm. that they're presenting themselves as valuable members of the community that they're going to be in.
Yeah.
That's all you can do, right? Yeah. The other day, my student asked me, why are you a teacher? And my answer to them was like, well, one of you in this class, and those kids were like 16 years old, mm-hmm. like, one of you in 10 years, you will probably be my youngest son, grade 11 teacher. Mm. One of you will be his doctor. One of you will be, if he's in a relationship, will be telling his partner that they are pregnant or they have cancer. I better treat you right, because it's coming back to me.
Right.
That's why I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher because one of you will serve my kid.
Yeah.
One of you will tell my kid that I have Alzheimer's.
Right.
And how do I want that to happen?
Wow.
That's why I'm a teacher, right? So I'm giving back because I know at one point it will come back to me.
It will come back to you.
Right? So fatherhood is giving back. It's giving back to the community. It's raising competent, valuable, caring, and loving individuals, no matter where they will be. And then, you know, they will know that you give them the best that you could. Mm-hmm. And it's a constant revision. Like when I take my journal in the morning to journal, one of the first thing is like, please Creator, please God, give me the strength to be a loving father. Like, give me the strength to like lead my kids the proper way that I can have for that 24 hours until the next day. Mm-hmm. So yes, someday I mess up big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Right. But it's the ability to come back and be like, okay, I messed up. That wasn't right. And then figure out. Right. So,
yeah.
So that's that. That's part of fatherhood. And then fatherhood too is like, you know, running after your kids so they clean their shit after they drop them in the living room. That's fatherhood. That's parenting.
Yeah.
Right. It's like you are asking them to do something five times and they haven't listened to you. That's parenting. It's part of it, right? So and then there's also the aspect that I cannot ignore in fatherhood is being a black male.
That part
is like, it's as at the center of it. Like, how do I present myself? So I make certain things like tangible. I'm like, my son's planner at school, mm-hmm. I'm gonna sign it.
Yeah.
So I don't get labeled as the father that's not there. Even though I know that it's not fair for people to label fathers as being absent, because that's a narrative that's being fed to us and it's not true. But I'm making it a purpose for me to be like, I know that I have a black kid, mm-hmm. and I know I'm at schools all the time and I see how sometimes in safe spaces, if you don't open your mouth, if you don't say something, that's how like minorities, like visible minority students or BIPOC students or racialized students are being treated.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't say something, if you don't intervene and you're like, watch out what you're saying here. Watch mm-hmm. out how you're treating that. Watch out how you like trying to define. We're talking about legalism, right? Watch out how you are looking at that family, right? They would make the little comment of like, well, he lives with grandma. And so what?
Yeah.
So grandma's incompetent. Grandma doesn't know what's good for a kid. Like, you know, like it's all that narrative. So all this is kind of like something that as a black father, I'm trying to also like be like, no, I am involving my kids in my kid's life. I'm doing my best to be there. So you don't label him as, oh, well, his father's not there. You mm-hmm. see what I mean?
Yeah.
And I try as well to provide space for my partner to be able to give him what her personal, you know, desire as well, right? So,
yeah.
And fatherhood parenting is a partnership.
Yeah.
Right? Whenever, if possible, it's a partnership. It's a partnership into what we're going to give this person that we made. Because they are going to be their own person at 21, 22, 23, 30, 40. What do we want to give them? What legacy do we want to leave through them? Yeah. Right. So that's what fatherhood is. And it's complex. It's messy. It's constantly being reviewed. Mm-hmm. This thing that I can understand about myself by looking at my relationship that I had with my father.
Right.
And then questioning my dad about relationship that he had with his father.
Mm.
Right? Like, and you realize that, the intergenerational trauma that can be passed through, and you're like, I want to stop this right there. Right? I want to have honest and open conversation with my kids.
Yeah.
Even when I disagree with what they might present, I want to have a culture where I can respectfully and with care and love disagree with what they present.
Yeah.
And find a place where we can negotiate how we are going to navigate the thing that we disagree on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that part is tough because, well, you know, traditional Caribbean families, there's certain things that you were like, no, this is, I said so, and this is the way it is. And you go, right? So that's a long-winded answer.
No, or the question, it's, I think it's, you've summed it up perfectly. And I mean, I haven't asked everyone, but I try to ask that question, what's motherhood, what's fatherhood? Because everybody has their own interpretation, mm-hmm. you know? One of the fathers that I spoke to new father, only the baby is only a few months old. And very, very early on, one of the things that I don't know if we spoke, I don't recall whether we spoke on the air or we spoke off the air about it, but one of the things that he said to me is that mothers and fathers are completely different and separate people, and they have their complete different and separate experience. And we need to respect both experiences because they're both valid. Right.
Yes.
Like we have this, mothers have this special bond with their child because they're the ones who literally carried the child for the 9 to 10 months that it took for the child to develop and everything. And the father has a very different relationship because, generally speaking, in like, I guess the baseline, fatherhood relationship should be is that the father is there taking care of the mother whose body is taking care of the child. Of course there's the spectrum of fathers, and like, you know, there's the ones that are completely absent by choice or by design, and the ones that are like overbearing, but that's the baseline. And people need to accept that, you know, how a father is going to comfort a baby when the baby's crying is going to be different from how a mother comforts the baby when the baby's crying.
Yeah.
And you have to give space to one another to know that we're going to parent completely differently, even if we're parenting together.
That's right. But what I would add to that, I totally agree. What I would add to that is that discussion, however, needs to happen on how we are going to parent, right? And understand that both people that are parenting will come at different point into the parenting, right? Yeah. But it's a discussion that needs to happen. And what I've seen often is that this discussion always happen when it's too late.
Okay.
Right. When it's downstream, and then the ship is completely like going, in disarray, and we're like, oh my God, we need to talk about this. And you're like, oh my God, it was too late, and so on and so forth. So I think that it's a discussion that needs to happen. And I was fortunate enough, that's kind of like the bonus of being in a relationship with someone that had a kid before.
Right.
You know, they kind of like, they can mentor you. They can be like, I'm sorry. It doesn't work like this, right? Like, this is my experience. It doesn't work like this. And on your side for me, that has never lived that, I had to accept to be mentored,
right?
Accept to be mentored and to say that everything that I'm coming at is theoretical.
Yeah.
So I will, let's give it a try, but let's always have chance to revisit, right? Like to rebalance things. The thing that happened to when my wife was giving birth, she gave birth by C-section.
Okay.
And that's a story that stays in with me. We had a doula, and then when she had an emergency C-section because there was some complication.
Right.
And then the doula came to me. She was supposed to help me, and she came to me. She repeated maybe 50 to 60 times, "Your wife is giving birth by C-section. Your wife is giving birth by C-section." She repeated that. She's like, "But that doesn't mean that she didn't give birth. She gave birth. She gave birth. She got like," and I'm like, after like the 40th time, and I'm like, okay, why are you telling me this? Right. I heard you. Okay, right now, can we move on? She's like, "I want you to understand that she's not a failure. She's giving birth by C-section. She's not having a C-section." And I'm like, okay, lady, well, all right, no problem. I kid you not, baby's born at 9:39. We're taking the traditional picture of like my wife is like half dead, really, because like she's like been working for like 12, 14 hours.
Wow.
And then she's like completely about to pass out. And before she closed her eyes, she's like, "I'm sorry, baby, I feel like a failure."
Wow.
And I'm like, the doula is a visionary or something. And I was like, "No, you're not a failure. You gave birth by C-section. You gave birth."
Right.
You, right? But the role, and then automatically for me, I'm like, oh my God, now a lot of things in our quote unquote plan have changed.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna have her to have a recovery a little bit longer. But the advantage of that is that I get to spend time with the kid myself, right? To develop what I would like to develop. So all that to say that we need to have a reflective nature in parenting and in fatherhood, right? Mm-hmm. To kind of like always reevaluate what we think we know, the way that I thought that I would parent when it was my biological child.
Yeah.
It doesn't come like this, the plan completely. But one thing remained. Kid is there. You gave birth, right? You gave birth, and then now it's time for you to like to go with that kid and to give them the best that you can, and to always have you always have a chance to go back and revisit, right? And it's not like it's not a final concrete picture. It's like you're working on that picture like as you go, right? Yeah. That's what fatherhood is. It's like it's a work in progress, really.
I think that sums it up beautifully. Fatherhood is a work in progress. Donkey, thank you so much for being here. You've got a podcast. You do lots of things. So tell the people where they can find you, where they can listen to your podcast.
Well, you can listen to the podcast on any platform, Apple, Google, Spotify. Our producer emailed me the other day and say we are on Stitcher. I don't even use Stitcher. So if you are on Stitcher, go for it. And the podcast is called Teach Reach, and you can find it on IG at teachreach_podcast. And we have our like host extraordinaire on the other line here, like Kim, that was a guest on our podcast coming soon. So, you know, tune in to listen to this guy on the other side of the mic, you know, giving us some nice little gem and teaching us some nice stuff. I even went and bought a couple of the books that you suggested.
Nice.
So, you know, I've done my homework.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this new series that I created this year. Celebrating Black fathers, I feel like we don't celebrate ourselves as fathers enough. We get a bad rap, like the bad news that is out there is pushed to the forefront as Black men, as Black fathers, and I think that's damaging to hear. So I wanted to switch up the narrative a little bit, as well as celebrating Black mothers back in May. And that brings us to a conclusion for this month. Again, gratitude, Tongi, to you for being here. Gratitude to you, the listeners. So find Tongi, TeachReach_podcast. I'll be on that podcast at some point in time. So follow it and you'll hear our conversations as well. And that brings us to the end of the show. Next month is going to be another special presentation whereby we will be celebrating our Native brothers and sisters here in Montreal and across Canada. We'll be doing that for the entire month of July. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. You've been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Avalon, be damned. Venture foreign lands. I laid my sword in the sand. I made my peace with man. They lay by the beast as far as my eyes can see. I seek a golden fleece. One day you'll make your peace. So don't tear my hand. I'm just a man, a deadly scene, a weathered beam. Men must cry where soldiers lie on threatened land. My guns go bang.
There's a lot going on in the world today. See how it affects Montreal's Black and Caribbean community. Read the community contact. News, features, opinions, music reviews, cultural events, and so much more. Our voices, our perspectives, our community. Published every 2 weeks, pick it up at your favorite community spot or visit us online at our new and dynamic website, mtlcommunitycontact.com. Easy to navigate and lots to enjoy. Archived issues...
Politica is thrilled to announce the theatrical release of Dear Jackie, a feature documentary by Henri Pardo. The film opens on June 17 in 4 theaters in Montreal: Cinéma Public, Cinéma du Musée, Cinémathèque Québécoise, and Cinéma Moderne, with the director and special guest in attendance at select screenings. Dear Jackie poetically tells the story of one of the oldest black communities in Canada, Montreal's Little Burgundy, by way of a cinematic letter to Jackie Robinson, the first black man to break the color barrier in professional baseball. It also masterfully connects history to the present by challenging the myth of a post-racial society. This release is co-presented by Desta Black Youth Network, Tyndale St. George's Community Center, Canteen Bergs, and Makisia Solo. For more information and tickets, visit cinemapolitica.org. We hope to see you there. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
CKUT, CKUT 90.3 FM.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal. Everybody listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro. Ascultați emisiunea de radio Marca Ro pe 90.3 FM CKUT.